Kristen and I had been dating for 6 months when she invited me to meet her family in Silver Spring, Maryland. I was definitely a little nervous as we approached her mother's house, but Diane changed all that when she warmly invited me in. She had made a tender pork roast, mashed potatoes, and a new dish to me, stewed tomatoes, known as stewds. I can't really say it with a Maryland accent, but the meal was delicious, but more importantly, I tangibly felt the love with which it was made, and that generous act of hospitality from Kristen's mother that day set the tone for the rest of our relationship. Many of us have received and given the blessings of hospitality. Hosting touches hearts. During another part of my life, I received gracious hospitality in southern Mexico in refugee camps with Guatemalans. These were folks who had fled massacres and wars. They had left everything they had, gone over the mountains with just a backpack, carrying what they could. They lived in stick huts. 4 people slept to a bed under tin roofs, no electricity. Yet when I visited their homes month after month, they shared everything they had. Their primary food was beans and tortillas, and they shared that abundantly with me. Rice was a luxury, which we all longed for. And on a couple occasions, folks shared their small allotment of canned meats from the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, SPAM. And honestly, you know, that's their protein. I was hesitant to take it, but I did. And I found out that SPAM can be very tasty if it's done crispy. Cannot undercook SPAM, or you have a problem. Through our own experiences, we know the life-saving power of receiving hospitality, including, in many cases, the warm welcome we have received here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown. I've heard that time and time again from folks who got here in the 1950s to today. They felt welcomed by outreach when they got here, and that means a lot. We have also learned stories of radical hospitality, such as those from the people of La Chambonne, France, who risked everything in hosting those fleeing Nazi death camps. Reverend André Trachmé and his wife Magda were courageous leaders in La Chambonne, the village which served as an underground railroad. Reverend Trachmé preached here in our own pulpit after World War II. In 1942, in the summer, German officials came and publicly pulled him into the town square in front of everyone. And the Germans told Trachmé they knew the details of these operations of saving Jews. They already had the names of everybody who was here in hiding, and they wanted everybody handed over immediately. Trachmé refused, and the Germans left without ransacking the village. This was an enigmatic historic incident. Immediately, Trachmé used 2 of his main resources, the Boy Scouts and the Bible study groups, the small group ministries, sent them out to every home, notifying the villages the Jews were not safe tonight. They should all go out and hide in the forest until further notice. Nobody got hurt through that wave of terror. They went through many ups and downs through the months and years. And throughout the entire process, whenever folks had a chance to interview Magda, she talked about the important negative signal which a closed door gave to a refugee. Folks needed to see and feel an open door. Well, we are not an underground railroad here, but we are a sanctuary of love, courage, and hope. And I am proud and grateful that we work hard. We are not perfect, but we make an effort every single day to open our doors to all kinds of people, folks who are suffering and folks who are bursting with joy and everybody in between. And I think that we are a strong congregation in terms of having a welcoming atmosphere. We're going through conversations about what are our core values, what's the heart and soul of USG, and we do hear time and time again that people say hospitality and welcoming are core values here. And we know, given that that's a core value, we can never take our focus off of this. We, as with any spiritual value, need to constantly ask, how can we realize our fullest potential in this area? And reflecting on their situation, the Trakmes became known as international heroes and were often asked, how did folks do it? Magda said, how can you call us good? We were just doing what had to be done. That was it. We ourselves can aspire to that approach to community life, opening our doors, letting folks in as they are, simply because we're doing what has to be done. There are people in this congregation who come to church no matter what the weather, no matter who's preaching, no matter what the music or the religious education. There are folks who come simply to open the door and welcome visitors. It's their job. All of us were visitors to a community at one time. Most of us have been refugees in some shape or form. And we all know the importance of somebody learning our name, somebody taking our coat, somebody inviting us in for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. It's sad or funny sometimes when folks forget. True story, I was working in a church where they're having an annual meeting about how to be more welcoming and how to grow the church. And a gentleman who had been a member for a year stood up and said, I got to be honest, I like it just the way it is. And I don't want anybody else to come in because it'll change us. And I thought, it's a good thing someone didn't make that argument 2 years ago before you got here. And they adapted your argument and closed the doors because you wouldn't be here. But we all need to be reminded sometimes of the truth that we know in our hearts. When a host shows hospitality or makes a sacrifice when they don't even know us at all, our lives can be changed. The people of Chambone are a shining star in the galaxy. In our community, we have a chance every day to go a little bit beyond our comfort zone in welcoming folks in. However, today, we are also focusing on the importance of being a guest and the Goldilocks paradox. Or no, we got to find a name for that, Rob, sorry. What is it? What's that? What's important in being a guest? It's not that easy to be a guest. I know many stories of people who come into churches and don't feel welcomed. They walk away wounded or stay around resentful. I know many stories of people who struggle when receiving hospitality. My friend Jane, we threw her a birthday party 1 year, and she hid in the bathroom because she couldn't take it. The feeling of love was too intense for her. There are many different cultural norms to navigate. Do you know remember the Woody Allen movie Annie Hall? Woody plays a neurotic Manhattan Jewish comedian. Very different role for him. Breaking out, he's dating Annie, who is a Midwestern WASP. And at one point, Annie brings Woody home to meet her folks. And he's sitting there at the dinner, staring down the table, most probably feeling like an outsider in this tight-lipped group. And he's remembering his childhood family dinners where it was boisterous activity, and quite often a couple people are talking at a time. In some family cultures, it's important to ask questions of the guest or the host. This is a way of showing interest, showing that you care about the person. Some other folks think that that is burdensome or nosy. Some folks think you should bring a gift. Some people don't think that's as big a deal. Some folks think you should help. Can I help you get the drinks or clear the table or do the dishes? Some folks think that you shouldn't do that as a guest. My friend Pete studied abroad in Japan during college. For dinner one night, his host family presented a large fish as the main dish. And they explained to Pete that it was the cultural tradition to give the guest the honor of eating the fish head. And I cannot remember if Pete did it. So Jen and Beth wrote the spiritual exercise of the month. It's about exploring the etiquette of being a guest. Sometimes expectations are influenced by a person's cultural identity, such as race, ethnicity, or socioeconomic class. Other times, expectations vary widely within the same cultural groups or even the same family. So, reflect on when you have guests in your home. What are your expectations of your guests? What about when you yourself are a guest in another person's home? Do you have certain expectations of yourself? And how do you know what other people are expecting of you? Have you ever experienced a time, either as a host or a guest, when your expectations did not align with the other person's? Anybody have that experience? A few people. How did you know what happened? The exercise. Ask several friends or family members what expectations they have of themselves or others as a guest, and what influences led them to these expectations. Did you learn that from your family, somewhere else? And try and think about how those expectations differ from your own. Being a guest can be exciting, meaningful, can provide you with a sense of belonging, but it can also be awkward and surprising. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I even doing this? Why didn't I just stay home? Well, I think one of the pieces of the rewards of being a guest is that this is a part of connecting with a community. And there are serious benefits to a community. Actually, this is a part of connecting with a couple of the essential elements of well-being. Let me tell you quickly, two researchers from Gallup poll, Tom Rath and Jim Harder, wrote a book on well-being. And they identified five essential elements. They polled people on all continents of the planet with close to 200 polls. And they found remarkable similarity. Five areas of well-being. They include love of what we do each day, quality of relationships, security of finances, vibrancy of physical health, and being able to contribute to our community. And most importantly is how these five interact. So once again, it's what you do each day and whether you love it, quality of relationships, security of finances, vibrancy of physical health, and then are you contributing with a community? And folks who have all five of those are most often thriving body, mind, and spirit. In the U.S., it's about 7% of the population. And you can see, if you are entering into a relationship or going back to one, engaging in hospitality as the host or the guest, a lot of those things could be at play. So I think it's worth it. Your self-esteem can be going up, could be helping you with your self-esteem ego balance. You could be increasing in your sense of belonging and purpose. But the authors are clear, just living in the right neighborhood for you, or just finding the right community, maybe like this one, is not enough. You have to make an effort to come in. So if you love Mount Airy, it's not enough to just be there. You have to be making some efforts to build relationships. You can't just sit at a table and drink tea and look around and see what a wonderful place it is. In order to get the benefits, you may need humility and acceptance that you want and need other people. You want and need other people. Maybe you have tried the isolated island for a while and that's not working for you, or you just need to find a way to get out of it. If you are above it all, it's hard to connect. Coming in arrogant as a guest. And if you're too down on yourself, you have a similar problem. If you're sitting on the floor with low self-esteem, it's hard to connect as a guest. We all know that relationships are two-way streets. It takes two to tangle. The requirement for both parties to make an effort begins at the beginning. You have to try and read and understand differences in cultural norms and make good decisions about when to compromise and when not. Or should you eat the fish head? That should have been the name of the sermon. We want to provide hospitality, not only because it helps others. We want to do it because we know what Henry Newman meant when he said that it turns the host into more of an interested recipient of new ideas and insights. We want to host people because it makes us more of a generous giver and more of a powerful witness for life and humanity. Let us also come forward as guests, knowing that in being a guest, you can provide others with opportunities for grace. Playing the role of a guest can be a tremendously important step towards being part of a community like this one, where you might thrive in what you're doing here with regularity. If you play the role as a guest, you might find surprising, challenging, fun, and rewarding relationships filling a gap in your life. If you allow yourself to play your part in the hospitality interchange, you might gain traction in amazing ways of contributing to the broader community. When we sit together with all kinds of people around that table one of these days, we aren't going to worry about fancy style. We're just going to want to sing hallelujah. Let us sing hallelujah. And now turn in our gray hymnals to 407.